Chapter 1. We'd been at it for an hour, and I was already sick to the eyebrows of hearing about the rules. David and I were in Andy's office, in a nondescript building a few blocks from the police station. The building designers hadn't planned on an office being jammed in a corner, unless it was some design feature to put a concrete support post smack in the middle. "We don't just jump in and sort out the details later, Charity." Andy pushed his chair back, bumping the windowsill. "I understand, really. You need to do it a certain way so the charges stand up in court. I just didn't think you expected me to investigate the same way. My entire business was built on getting the evidence and sorting out the paperwork later. It worked when you only had to satisfy the client. If you won't give me any leeway, I'm no use." David touched my arm to get my attention, and I realized I was halfway to standing in my frustration. "You will have some," he said, "just not full freedom, because of the other reason we don't work like you do." I looked at him, hoping for more. "Because people die. We aren't investigating some embezzling from payroll. Our targets fight back." Mine did, too, often enough. They didn't usually carry guns, though. "I get that. You were seconded to the RCMP. Are their rules the same as the VPD? I worked well with them." He actually rolled his eyes. I couldn't argue. My definition of working well was different from his. "We caught the killer," I said, trying to ignore the touch of teenage angst in my voice. Andy stood and faced the window. It had a view of the side of the building next door, gray brick and no windows looking back. It didn't hold his attention for more than a few seconds. He turned back, looking calmer, and sat. "Let's start again." He waited for me to nod. "Okay, Detective Anker, you read the requirements for your secondment?" David nodded. "And I understand the role of liaison with a civilian consultant." That was me. "Miss Deacon, you still have questions I'm not sure we can answer, but I'll try." The formality kind of worked. It reminded me I was in RCMP territory, and not because I'm a pain in the ass. I was a valuable resource. They'd invited me, after all, and not just to keep an eye on me. "Okay. I think it comes down to why I'm part of the team." I put aside the last hour of trying to work this exact question out and summarized. "I know we can't define it specifically, but you want me for the exact reason you're having difficulty answering my questions. I work alone most of the time. I improvise. I don't plan ahead much. I get results." "Yes," Andy didn't try to clarify. "So, off the record, we agree that if I feel the need to go and do my own thing, you won't try to stop me. You won't automatically try to protect me when things get risky. You'll listen when I suggest something a little outside your regulations." Andy looked at David, hoping he'd talk me into being sensible. "As a cop," David said, "I will allow you to use the skills we hired you for. As your boyfriend? I can't promise not to save your life if I think it needs doing." Boyfriend? We needed a better word for that because people in their 30s didn't have boyfriends, and partner was too cold. Lover? Well, just let me groan at that. I turned to Andy. Our relationship was purely professional. Maybe we'd move up to friendship level, but not yet. Maybe never. He sighed. "We did bring you on for your ability to accomplish things. Will you listen to me when I say you are endangering the case?" It couldn't hurt to promise I'd listen. No one was talking about obeying yet. "I will. So can we get to the part where we decide what to do?" A long enough pause that I thought one of them would try to rein me in. "I think Victor McCarthy is our best bet to start with," Andy said. He's got to be worried because the rest of the child trafficking team is dead or in custody. Turning him might lead us to Ivan Kuznetsov, which is our goal. No matter what we're investigating at the moment, Kuznetsov is our target. Victor and his wife ran the private adoption agency supplied with kids who were brought by Ivan's organization. The ones they didn't use for slavery or prostitution, that is. Do you know where he is? Andy pulled a file from his desk drawer. We're following some leads, but he's in hiding. If Kuznetsov finds out first, we'll be picking up a corpse if we're lucky. What about his wife? I couldn't let them forget about the collateral. Cynthia might or might not be a good contact. My gut was telling me she instigated the connection with the Russian gang, but I had nothing to point to for proof. Can't find any clues, David said. She might be with Victor or gone to ground somewhere else. Or maybe Ivan has her hunting for him too, I said. Did you find anything on her background? Andy flipped a page. She's changed her name so many times, it's taking forever to build a profile. So far, we think she escaped from Chechnya just after Russia took back control. She could be a refugee from the violence, or a KGB agent, or the daughter of an oligarch. We keep looking and finding new stories. I moved her down my mental list of possible informants. So my first job is finding Victor McCarthy? You have some interesting sources, Andy said. I'm not saying ours are squeaky clean. They wouldn't be any help if they were. But you seem to get more answers than we do from the same institutions. Nice way of referring to the Hell's Angels. Andy had a point. When I got information, it wouldn't result in a raid on the gang headquarters, so less filter on the details. I'll see what I can do,